77, we talked in Sunday school about discouragement, and that's what this psalm presents to us, as David went through a patch of discouragement, but he also, through God's inspiration, shared with us what to do about it when it happens. So it's a beautiful psalm. Verse 1, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed, Selah. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. And I said, this is my infirmity. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. Selah. We're going to stop there at verse 15 and entitle it, In the Day of My Trouble. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We are grateful to be here today in this venue you've provided for us to open your preserved, perfect word and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray that we would allow that today. We would open our hearts. We would push aside distractions and allow the Holy Spirit to apply this book to our walk, and that we would be changed. I pray, Lord, if there's someone in our service not born again, that they'd realize they need Jesus, and today is the day of salvation. Have your will in our hearts and lives. Be glorified in this service, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. That's always the place to start when we have troubles, is with prayer. Amen? Always. Take it straight to God. That's always where we should go. And that's what David did, verse 1, I cried. David understood the importance, the power of spending time with God, of bringing our problems to God, bringing our frustrations to God, even bringing our wrong thoughts to God. And he said, I cried unto God with my voice. Even unto God with my voice. He says in verse 2, I sought the Lord. David understood the importance of bringing it to God. And it was David that wrote for us in Psalm 55:17, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. David understood that we need to be constantly praying, pray without ceasing, we're told in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 and so forth. But that's always where we must begin, is to bring it to God. Because David said in verse 2, it's in the day of my trouble. This psalm is about trouble that had come into his life. It had affected not only his circumstances, but his thoughts, as we see. Will we have troubles? Absolutely. Guaranteed. David also wrote in Psalm 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. God promised we will have afflictions. If you go 1 Peter 4:19, even in the New Testament, we are promised that there are going to be times of trouble in our Christian lives. 1 Peter 4:19. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Notice this says according to the will of God. Suffering is according to the will of God. Now, we could look at this psalm. We could say, you know, David shouldn't have thought those things. David shouldn't have said those things. But if we're having those thoughts and we're talking to Almighty God, which is better? To lie to God, which he already knows your thoughts, or to be honest with God? Obvious answer, right? And I appreciate it that God recorded this in his word, that David revealed these thoughts that had come into his mind because of these troubles he was facing, and we get to read about it. But if you go to Psalm 145:18, God tells us he wants honesty when we come to him in prayer. He doesn't want us to come and try to offer up great flowing prayers when our hearts are hurting. He is our friend. He wants to know. He wants to hear it. The Bible says if we confess our sins, we're not to hide our sins from God, are we? We're to confess them. And if we have wrong thoughts, what are we supposed to do but be honest? 145:18, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. In truth. Be honest with God. David said he was troubled. And in the day of his trouble, he did think some wrong things. He even, it says in verse 3 of our passage, he complained. It says, I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. And then in verses 7 to 9, he really got honest, didn't he? Look what he said. Will the Lord cast off forever? Will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy cling on forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Now, yes, those are all rhetorical questions, and we know the answer to every single one of them is absolutely not. But that doesn't stop us from sometimes having those thoughts, does it? Or from the devil putting those thoughts in our mind. Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Of course not. The answer to every one of these six questions is no. But why did God allow David to write them then? Because God knows us. And God knows what we're made of. And God knows that, yes, when we have troubles, we can get discouraged, we can get down, and we can have some wrong thinking. But it's what we do with that, right? Like we talked in Sunday school this morning. Where do we go from there? Do we, like Elijah, do we run and hide in a cave and say, I'm the only one left? No, that's not the answer. And that's what changed here. Notice verse 10. And I said, this is my infirmity. And David's about to have a time of reflection, isn't he? That word in verse 9, at the end of verse 9, Selah, it's a pause. David paused after being honest with God about these wrong thoughts that he was having because of all this trouble that had come into his life. And he said, yes, this is my infirmity. But there's the key word. But in verse 10. And you'll notice that the tone completely changes. Now, understand the circumstances don't change. The trouble doesn't just dissipate. It's all about perspective. Amen? All about looking at it from the right perspective rather than the wrong perspective. And so everything changed when David said, but, this is my infirmity, but, verse 10, I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. He's about to correct his wrong thinking with the truth of God's precious word. David also wrote for us, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Psalm 103, verse 2. Amen. The times when we're tempted to forget how good God is when we're going through troubles. That's why David said, but, yes, I'm hurting. Yes, I'm down, but I'm going to remember some things. And the first thing I'm going to remember is the years of the right. I'm going to remember how good God has been to me since I became his. And we need to do the same. Amen. It lightens our load. It reminds us that God is good all the time. We need to stop thinking the wrong thoughts and start remembering, you know, God has blessed me. God has been so good to me over the years. And that's what David said. I'm going to remember how good God has been to me since I became one of his. The Bible says the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Amen? Psalm 33, verse 5. The goodness of the Lord endureth continually in Psalm 52, verse 1. All of these written by David, by the way. And then in Psalm 92, if you turn there quickly. And so what happens is when we stop and we put that but in there and we say, but I'm going to remember how good God is, it completely changes our focus, doesn't it? It changes our focus from our problems to our Lord. Which is exactly what God wants from us. Psalm 92, look at verse 1. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. To show it forth that God is faithful, that God is loving. Quite different from verses 7, 8, and 9, isn't it? I'm going to remember the years. I'm going to remember how good God has been to me. You know, in Acts chapter 5, you don't have to turn there, but the disciples had been told yet again to stop preaching in the name of Jesus Christ. And they were brought before a Jewish council of leaders. And they reminded them yet again, no more preaching in the name of Jesus. And it says, before they let them go, they gave them a beating. And trust me, that wasn't like a wimpy beating. Okay, when they gave beatings, they gave real beatings. And the Bible says they departed from the presence of the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. They're walking away with bruises, they're limping, and they're saying, thank you so much, God, that you allowed us to suffer for you. This is what's happening. David is now realizing, I need to look at this differently. I need to stop being frustrated and I need to start praising. I need to stop questioning and I need to start remembering how good God has been to me there in verse 10. He also says in verse 11, I will remember the works of the Lord. So in verse 10, I'm going to remember the years, how good he's been to me, the right hand of my Most High. And I'm also going to remember his great works. Well, where do we read about those? In this book, amen? That God is a great God. God is a powerful God. God is an all-knowing God. God is a loving and gracious and merciful God. And the more we read about him, again, it changes our focus from ourselves to our God. I'm going to remember his works. I'm going to remember the years of the right hand. Verse 11, I want to remember thy wonders of old. This glorifies God when we do this. Look at Psalm 50 and verse 23, if you would. And what happens is, the circumstances don't change. This is the key. The troubles are still there. But now the focus isn't on, woe is me. Now the focus is on, God is good. And God knows what he's doing. The perspective is what changes. Notice Psalm 50, verse 23. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. Isn't that good? David has now switched from complaining to praising. From reflecting on his own frustrations, thoughts, or whatever, to reflecting on how good God is. Same troubles, same circumstances. But now he's offering up, as we read in Hebrews 13, the sacrifice of praise. Continually. The power we see of praise and gratitude. It can change our lives. So he says in verse 10, I'll remember thy years, I'll remember the works. Verse 11, thy works and thy wonders. Verse 12, I will meditate also of all thy work. He says, I'm not only going to remember the past and remember how good God has been by reflecting in his word, but I'm also going to meditate on it. I'm going to stop meditating on my thoughts, on my frustrations, and I'm going to start meditating on God and his word. And we're told all through the scriptures about the power of meditation, aren't we? Joshua 1:8 is an example. Turn there if you would. Then when you see the word meditation in the Bible, it's not talking about what you see, you know, with the Eastern religions and crossing your legs funny and all that. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about finding the truth in your morning time and meditating on that truth throughout the day. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Amen? Day and night. Day and night. Look at Psalm 68, verse 19, if you would. Our focus changes from ourselves, from our suffering, to our God. And by the way, that's a conscious choice. David made the conscious choice. He said, but. Yeah, I'm hurting, I'm suffering, I'm being honest with God about my wrong thoughts, but. You know, I'm going to stop complaining and I'm going to start praising. And I'm going to remember how good God is. I'm going to remember His works, His wonders, and I'm going to meditate. Psalm 68:19, blessed be the Lord who what? Daily. Isn't that beautiful? Daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Lamentations 3 said, His compassions fail not, they're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. We got a whole hymn from that verse, Lamentations 3:23. And so David said, I'm going to change my focus. I'm going to stop focusing on me, and I'm going to start focusing on God. Amen? And everything changes when we do this. I'm going to remember His years. I'm going to remember His works. I'm going to remember His wonders. And I'm going to meditate on His works. And when we do that, look what happens, verse 12. And I will talk of thy doings. I'm going to stop talking about my problems. And I'm going to start talking about God. Amen? I'm going to talk of God. I'm going to talk about how great God is. I'm going to tell others. I'm going to quit complaining. I'm going to start sharing with others how good God is. And you know, nothing lifts us up when we're in a slump more than when we praise God and tell others about Him. That's how it's supposed to work. It gives us this desire when we start praising the Lord to tell others how good God is. And that's what He said. I will talk of all thy doings. In Psalm 105, if you want to turn there quickly, verse 1. Again. Written by David, he said, oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name. Psalm 105, verse 1, make known His deeds among the people. Amen? Tell others about Him. How good He is. How loving He is. How patient He is. And in Romans 10:15, if you want to turn there, we're told in Romans 10, how shall they hear without a preacher? How should they preach except they be sent? Amen? And then after that, it says here in Romans 10:15, how beautiful are the feet of them which preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Glad tidings of good things. That's what we're supposed to be doing, bringing glad tidings of good things. And that's what David did. He said, I'm done being down. And now I'm going to praise God. I'm going to remember how good He's been. I'm going to remember how powerful He is. I'm going to start praising Him. And I'm going to start talking about Him. Amen. And he found another thing to help when we're down. Verse 13. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. One thing I hear people say all the time when I'm out visiting people's, well, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. I've heard that phrase so many times over the years. And I always say the same thing. I say, that is true. To be a Christian, you need to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. I said, but I always say, but church was God's idea, not man's. A lot of people want to think that it was man's idea, and it isn't. It was God that said we needed to assemble. It was God that said we needed the fellowship. It was God that said we needed to get together and be challenged by His Word, because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. God said these things, to forsake not the assembling and all of that. And so I always say that's true, but... And David understood. Yes, I'm in a slump. I'm going to start praising God. I'm going to start talking more about God. And I need to get back into the sanctuary. Amen? Because we always tend to want to do the opposite of what we should do, like we talked in Sunday school. If we are down, if we are having troubles, and they're affecting how we think, usually we do the opposite of what we should. We back away from God. We back away from our brothers and sisters. And actually, we need them more. And David understood this. Look at Psalm 92, verse 13. How many times did David talk about what a blessing it was to be with God's people? Psalm 92, verse 13, look what he says. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. God wants His people to be planted. Amen? In the house of the Lord. He said in Psalm 122, verse 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And look at Psalm 27, verse 4. Beautiful, beautiful statement, declaration of David's about wanting to be in the sanctuary. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Now that's something to desire, isn't it? That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold His beauty, to inquire in His temple. David understood this. He understood that the way to get out of the slump is just to change your perspective. To stop complaining and start praising and start telling others and talking more about God, to get back into the sanctuary. And look what happened. Verse 13 of our passage. This is the same David who just earlier started saying, where is God? Where are His mercies? Has he quit on me? Look at verse 13. Who is so great a God as our God? Same David, same troubles. What happened? His perspective changed. He started remembering. He started talking. He went back to the sanctuary. And now he says, who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God, verse 14, that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people. Isn't that beautiful? Same David that in verses 7 to 9 asked these rhetorical questions that none are true about God. Complete turnaround. Now he's praising the Lord. Now he's remembering how good God is. Now he's talking about His doings. Now he's getting back to the sanctuary. And his perspective is completely different. God is good. And how many times do we say all the time, but we don't say it as loud when we're in the middle of a major trouble, do we? And yet, God is always good. All things work together for good. And in Psalm 107, if you go there quickly, David understood this. It's time to stop complaining and start praising. Verse 1, O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. For His mercy endureth forever. Amen? That verse is quoted over and over again in the Psalms. Give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. We need to be giving more thanks, because He is good. And yes, His mercy never ends. It endureth forever. David did ask that rhetorical question, is His mercy gone? Of course not. God is the God of the Bible. God is the God of wonders, the God of love, the God of mercy, the God of grace, God of patience. And when the troubles come, don't let the devil start sending those thoughts and start questioning God. No. Start praising God. Start talking more about God. Get to the sanctuary more. Amen. And watch God turn around. Not necessarily the troubles. They might be there for a little while. He knows what's best. But he'll definitely turn around your perspective on your troubles. And David said, in the day of my trouble, I got down a bit. I got frustrated. I was honest with God about my thoughts, about my frustrations. And then it all turned around when I stopped and said, but I will remember. I will talk of your goodness, and I am going to get back to the sanctuary. And he finishes up by saying, God is great. God is wonderful. God is powerful. God is patient with me and loving. Hallelujah. So in the day of our trouble, what do we need to do? Praise. Remember. Talk about how good God is. And get in the sanctuary as much as we can. Amen. David said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. In Psalm 84:10. He said, I'd rather be with God's people than be with the world. That's where we need to be. In the day of my trouble. Lord, thank you for your word and this amazing lesson from the life of a man after your own heart. And Lord, it's so beautiful that you allowed this to be recorded for us, that David was human like the rest of us and went through times of despondency like we do. And thank you that in the same psalm, he revealed to us the solution. It's all about our perspective. And so may we take this to heart and live it when the troubles come. To praise you more, to talk of you more, to be in church, and Lord, to watch you turn it around in our own minds. Thank you for speaking to us. We love you so much.